You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Palmerbet on the edge of the box. Oh, it's a straight up screamer.
Download our app today and enjoy straight up screamers this FIFA World Cup with great odds, great promos and same game multi at Palmerbet. Gamble responsibly. For gambler's help, call 1-800-858-858.
Always look forward to early Sunday morning start. And the early call time to do Footy SA is made all the better by the fact that I get to do it with this man, Matty Rendell. We just get together at 7 o'clock every Sunday morning, and he's always willing to answer the phone on a Monday to dissect the round that has been. Matty, hello, mate.
G'day, Sammy. How you going, Matty? Look at Brucey, the legend, Brucey. I can only find one minor flaw in him, Sammy. He had a bit too much love for Cyril.
Hey, I don't see that as a flaw.
he used to go a bit over the top when Cyril got near the ball.
I think that was what was great about Bruce is that, and everyone's got their view. I think the fact that his love for, he barracked for the game, he barracked for players,
he
barracked for the best, for it to be at its best, and when it was, he revelled in it, and then you did too. I just thought that he was just a genius as a broadcaster, and so engaging and inviting.
Loved his athletes, didn't he? He loved them all the athletes.
Yeah.
And the non-human ones.
The horses. Yes.
But he was, you could just, the enthusiasm and the love used to come out in his commentary on anything he did.
If you've ever heard him tell the story about how he prepared for Cathy Freeman's race at the Olympics, he did so from the moment that Atlanta wrapped up in 96. And he knew who the contenders were going to be, who was likely to be in the race, and he talks about how he knew how to time the call and how he wanted the call to unfold, and he understood what the eventualities were probably going to be, and then how he wanted to capture the moments in the events that either option A, B, C, D, E, F, G came to pass. And I think it's the greatest piece of commentary that I've ever heard because it captured it so brilliantly. But what I love about Bruce McAvaney is he's still not satisfied with it because there was two words that he got around in his mind the wrong way. So I just love that because it is the soundtrack and a brilliant soundtrack to one of the greatest moments in Australian sport, yet his pursuit of perfection never ended. He wasn't satisfied with it. I love that as a commentator, who pales into significance.
Did Tim Lane do it as well? He was fantastic too. His call was great. I think it was on radio. But I would have thought if he's prepared for 4 years, there was a major danger he was going to over-prepare for that. But he got it right on the night.
Hey, Matty, we could wax lyrical about Bruce McAvaney all night, but hero and a villain from you, please, from the weekend in footy?
Look, if I have to pick one hero...
You can have as many as you want.
Finlayson. Oh, I'll give you a few. God, Finlayson played well in the ruck against Laddams, when Bryn Teagle, who looked damn good, too early, playing his first game, they picked out of WA in the mid-season draft. He looked good before he'll try and clean this bloke up. He did more damage to himself. And then so Finlayson was thrust in there, and I thought he was fantastic again. Now, he rucked, did a lot of the ruck work against Nankervis the week before, and I thought he was really good on Nankervis. So, they might have found one there. He's not 200 centimetres. He'd be 195 tops, I would have thought. But I love his craft. He's very clever and uses his body really well. Boundary throwings, ball ups. He's really clever. Maybe that's his trait as a forward. He's learnt that trait as a forward, how to use your body. But I thought he was very influential. And then winning the clearances and then breaking square at the contested ball. And when Port get to break square stage of contested ball, they usually win the game. So the blokes I waxed lyrical about, I think 2 weeks ago, in the forward line for Gold Coast Suns, Rankin, Ainsworth.
Oh.
And Roses, geez, they were superb again. God, they're dangerous. I know Roses didn't play.
Can I just jump in there, Matty? Because the word you just used there, I brought up earlier. Would you agree that it's the only time in the Suns' history that I can remember, maybe when they were going on that run, I think it was 2014 when Ablett was up and about, but even then it was they played a certain style. Have you ever been able to say the words, the Suns are a dangerous team now? Offensively a dangerous team.
Unbelievably dangerous, because Chol and Casbolt, you know what you're going to get there. Chol kicks goals in all different ways. Casbolt just competes. He's going to mark two or three. His kicking's not always reliable. Chol can get the ball on the ground, but they got the three dangerous blokes when Roses comes back in. You've got to have three really good small defenders, and not many have got one. You know, some have got one, but most of them haven't got two.
Mm.
You need three, and Jeffrey's the wild card.
Yeah.
He didn't have such a great day on the weekend, but, you know,
he had moments.
All marks of ball. Yeah, so, you know, they got Benny King coming back in next year. You know, probably if you look at it right here, right now, but, probably Casbolt's the one who misses out there, but boy, how dangerous is that forward line going to look next year with a fit Benny King up and running? Mm. It's dangerous now.
But he's probably got himself, I don't know, I can't remember what Casbolt signed in terms of a contract, but if it was a one-yearer, maybe it was a two-yearer, I reckon he's got himself another year from the way he's performed this year because they'll need insurance.
Yeah. No, he's definitely got another year. That's for sure and certain. No, that's worked really well. Their midfield, you know, they're going to miss Powell. Jeez, that was a bad injury, Powell, wasn't it?
Heartbreaking.
And he's been so good, Powell.
Even Dermot was squeamish, from what I'm hearing in the TV call. Yeah, I called the game and we were shattered for him, but you hate to see
that. My cousin did the same thing training for Australia in basketball, Ben Nadget. Someone trod on his foot, exactly the same thing. It went sideways, his ankle. He broke his ankle and did his ligaments, but he came back and played, so he's good. So Powell will come back, he's young enough. And he's a good player. One of the great picks by the Gold Coast, Scotty Clayton of the Gold Coast Suns, picked him at 19 out of the blue. So
he's second in their best and fairest last year, Will Powell.
Yeah. Oh, was he? Second. Yep. Oh, okay.
Are you impressed, Matty?
Really good list.
Are you impressed when it comes to Rankin and Ainsworth? So Rankin, whether or not it's the feedback externally, or this is something they've identified a long time ago internally, but now he realises that there's a joy to be had from not just kicking the goal yourself, but for maybe creating the pressure, or causing the pressure to create one, or now feeding your teammates. But the goal assist, he's last 6 weeks, he's averaging 7.5 score involvements, I think, a game. He's he and Ainsworth are 1-2 in their goal assist and in their score involvement. So he's finding the joy, and he's cutting teams up, not just doing it himself, and he is kicking goals himself, but he's providing the service. Now, he's playing the point guard, who does score. He's Steph Currying. He's scoring himself, but he's dishing out plenty of assists too.
Less flashy stuff and more consistent football. And work rates stepped right up. Look, I think there was, I heard there was family issues in that last year, and, you know, he struggled with it. So, but he certainly put his head down. Good time to put your head down when you're out of contract, Sam.
Hey, without bringing up the front page story of the round, not everybody shares that same view, it would seem.
Yeah, well, that's true. So, they're going to be, you know, you played when you play them. Port have got them this week at Hutt Port in Adelaide. So
2 weeks ago, maybe not 2 weeks ago, but a couple of weeks ago, that game is, Port and the Giants. Yeah. Now, that's a must watch.
And that's my other hero is this week. This week's game, Melbourne Lions, Bulldogs Hawks will be a cracker, Carlton Freo, Geelong Richmond, Swan Saints, Port Gold Coast Suns, and Collingwood and GWS is vital for Collingwood in particular.
Yeah.
So a great round of footy.
But even North Melbourne and Adelaide, Matty, that'll be viewed just as intently as all, because this is a winnable game for North Melbourne.
Yes.
And it's one that Matty Nix can't be. They can't be dropping this one in their stage of their redevelopment at Adelaide. So that's going
right.
to be.
And North don't want to lose this by 50 plus. So there will be carnage at the club. Playing at home against the Crows, just in front of them, they'll need to put on a good show. Mm. North. The only downer for the weekend I can come up with, and you know I love my footy, St Kilda. Boy, work that one out.
I was hoping you could, Matty. That's why I've got you here. That's why we're eagerly anticipating with bated breath if you've been able to figure out what was that from the Saints.
Well, I know we can talk about the Saints, but by God, Essendon were great.
Yeah, weren't they?
This is what they're capable of. This is what they're capable of. I don't know what's happened to them this year. I thought early in the year when I was watching them, I thought, God, they look. They don't look fit. They're not running. They're not on top of the ground. You know, I can see it. You know, my trained eye over 40 years, I can tell it when a team's fit. And there was two teams I don't reckon were as fit as they should have been, which was GWS and Essendon. They both looked like they were struggling physically in their running department. But gee, they ran hard on the weekend. When they get up and running, I'm trying to think that Hawthorn game. That's what it was, isn't it? 1.5 quarters. When they get their confidence up and get up and going, it's hard to stop. It is a tsunami. It's not the orange one, but it's the red and black one when they get up and going. And I was glad that Shiel was really good in that too, because he's got plenty of flack this year. But Saints, I don't know what to make of that at all. You know, they were really good against Brisbane the week before and copped those injuries. I don't know if they just thought they were going to roll into this one, but you can't roll into any game in AFL.
No, you can't. There's a question off the text here, Matty, from AG, wondering how someone who kicks the ball and looks as comfortable at the level as Massimo D'Ambrosio doesn't get picked up in the national draft. How does he slip through?
Well, I haven't spoken to anyone about him yet. I could only assume that he must have been injured most of the year last year. Because he looked like he played 100 games.
I was half expecting him to see him pointing players into positions at one point because he looked so comfortable at the level. I thought he was going to start hodgying out there. You here? Why don't you go over there?
It was amazing. And I haven't spoke to any of my recruiting mates to find out what the hell happened to him last year. I didn't see any of it. And he wasn't in the champs. I'm pretty sure he wasn't in any of the champs teams. I could only assume he's probably injured or there were some other issues and that he didn't play much, so they probably didn't get a handle on it. But, you know, some of those players that, you know, played two or three games and look all right, they get them in to that pre-season. What's it called? The SSP or something. You can take them before the end of February, but no one even did that with him. So, he's much maligned. Dodoro at Essendon, but God, he's picked some good players, and I think you just got to be a bit patient with him. Obviously, Zach Reid, big, long striding key back in the Harris Andrews mould, you know, missed his first year, so be a bit patient with, you know, Perkins hasn't been great this year, and Cox has
been. He was great on Friday night, though. I thought Perkins was great on Friday night because he got time in the middle, Matty.
Yes.
Ben Rutten finally, through necessity, not design, finally went with the younger guys in the middle and gave them some me time in the middle. And didn't it pay dividends?
Yeah, Caldwell's going to be a play for them too.
Yep.
And, you know, they've missed Langford all year. They've had a lot of players out. I know they said that, I think the CEO saying, they've been basically the second youngest team all year. Well, you know, the Crows have been the youngest. You know, and they're both down and on the same level there. You know, you need your experienced players playing week in, week out. And, you know, they've missed Stringer and Tipper retiring really hurt them too because he caused all sorts of havoc in the forward line.
Hooker was one of their top five goal scorers last year as well.
And the other one was James Stewart. They missed their key back.
Yeah.
Well, he, you know, played all year as a key back and did a ripping job. And he finally came back in. Did he play on the... He came back in. So, you know, Stringer back. Get a few senior players back, and they did a ripping job without Parrish. Yeah.
But, Matty, you've got to let you go, but I like this one off the text. I don't know what's worse, having a hangover on Sunday mornings or watching your two melons on Footy SA. That's from Mario Maslin Beach, directed to you and I. So I thought I'd leave you with that one.
Well, Mario sends a text. I do a little gig with Kimbo and Rucci.
Nice.
On Wednesdays at about 5 o'clock our time. I do about 15 minutes with them, and there's always a text at the end of my little spiel from Mario at Maslin's Beach. I don't know if you know that, Savvy. Maslin's Beach was the first nudist beach in Australia.
Is that right?
There you go. A little bit of
find out if Mario's a regular frequenter of said beach. Hey, Matty, I'll speak to you next week.
All right, thanks, Savvy. See you, mate.
Sorry about the noise. My neighbour's sanding his deck. My motto? Don't work on your deck. Play on it. Life's good with a Trex deck. Low maintenance with a 25-year residential warranty. Trex, the world's number one decking brand.